If I could, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. And this has been known as the Kingly Book. We're continuing our thoughts on the doctrine of forgiveness. And in this book we have some kingly thoughts to his kingly subject. And one of the thoughts that continues to come up in the red letter edition of Matthew's Gospel is the subject of forgiveness. Forgiveness. And so tonight I'd like to take the two or three times that our Lord mentions forgiveness and preach on the subject of the declarations of forgiveness. Our Lord thought it was a big subject. He kept bringing it up, this thought of forgiveness. And we want to begin in Matthew chapter number 6 with the first time that he mentions in this gospel. And I want us to look tonight, first of all, at a connecting declaration. He says in verse number 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." I want us to see first of all tonight that there is a connecting purpose. A connecting purpose. It seems like at first glance we look at that statement, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." It seems to be somewhat of a simple statement. But I feel like if we'll take a closer look at it tonight, it is simply profound tonight. Yeah. Because it is in this statement that we find the basis or the foundation, or the guidelines, or if you please, the measurement that God uses to forgive you and I. He has laid down in this one statement, if God is to ever forgive you and I, here is his guidelines that he's going to use. I'm talking about the connecting purpose. But looking further in this text, I notice not only do we see the connecting purpose, but we see the connecting pattern. There are 11 words in verse 12 if you count forgive as two words. And all of those words seem to be somewhat simple words. Of course, I don't know if you realize it or not, but over 90% of the Bible is 2 and 3 syllable words. The Bible doesn't use a lot of big words. And 98% of everything Jesus said was 2 and 3 syllable words. He kept everything on the bottom shelf. I never have understood why we needed another translation. I don't know about you. I never have had any problem with 2 and 3 syllable words. Amen. Them big words will catch me oftentimes, but them little words, I can usually handle them. But in this text, we're talking about a connecting pattern now. He's going to give us his purpose in making this statement. He said, "This is the measure that I'm going to use to forgive you." And the littlest word in this verse, I wished he'd have left it out. If he'd have left it out, I'd have been home free. It is the little word "as." He says here, "And forgive us our debts as." I tell you, hon, if he'd have left that out, some of you'd have been home free tonight. But he stuck that little word in. You say, preacher, what's the big deal about him sticking it in? It is a conjunction. And in placing that conjunction in this statement, he is making two comparative phrases. He said that the second one is dependent upon the first. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He said, if you're not willing to forgive, he said, neither am I. He said, you can go to hell and pay for your own sins. Whoa. My. Isn't it amazing tonight, some of you sitting here with an unforgiving spirit thinking you're on your way to heaven. You've made your little profession. You've been down to Romans Road, German Road, and French Road. Been dunked in the baptismal pool. Been sitting on a Baptist pew for years. And you still lost it on your way to hell because you got an unforgiving spirit. He said, if you won't forgive, neither will I. He said, my pattern of forgiveness, he said, when I get ready to forgive you, he said, my standard of forgiveness is the kind of standard that you use to forgive other people. Oh, my. The Lord says, when I forgive you, I will use your standard of forgiveness. You say, preacher, you don't understand. You don't understand how much they have hurt me. Oh, no, sister, I don't know how much they've hurt you. But I tell you one thing, the more you see your sin against God, the less you'll see their sin against you tonight. Huh? I was thinking about the old boy that came home from Vietnam. He was all shot up and he'd lost a leg over there. He'd lost an arm. He'd lost part of his face. From a hand grenade explosion. And his first thought was he wanted to hate the Vietnamese people. Finally, God gave him some victory over it. He started a group of people all across the country. And the little group that he started, even his license tags, says FIDO, F-I-D-O. And he said it was the only way he could get by. Those letters under FIDO, F-I-D-O, is forget it and drive on. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the standard of forgiveness that he uses. He said, I'll only forgive you as you forgive others. Oh, I don't know about you tonight, but that puts an awful great weight tonight on the purpose behind yours and my need to forgive other people tonight.
Right. Yeah.
And just in case you didn't get it, out of all of the phrases in this prayer, he's teaching the disciples how to pray. There is only one of these phrases that he re-emphasizes again, if you've got your Bible there, verses 14 and 15. He said, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Oh, I wish he left that word as out of there, don't you? Huh? Oh, he's comparing, he's contending two phrases here. He said, your forgiveness tonight, if you want to be forgiven, if you want your slate wiped clean, you must wipe everybody else's slate clean tonight.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I'm talking about a connecting purpose, talking about a connecting pattern. Could I mention this little thought? This has helped me. A connecting pronouncement. As I was studying this little text, I came across several quotes about forgiveness. And they just, I don't know, some of them just rose up and shook me at the foundation. One of them was a statement that Charles Haddon Spurgeon made. He said, if you pray this statement and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He said, if you pray this statement from the Lord's Prayer with an unforgiving spirit, he said, you have virtually signed your own death warrant. Oh, my. I tell you what, hon. That person you bitter at, they worth you going to hell tonight. Huh?
Yeah, think about that.
That person that's hurt you tonight and you've carried it all your life. Maybe it was a daddy tonight did something to you. You carried it all your life. Man, they've been dead and in the grave for a long time. You still carried. I was wondering tonight, they worth you going to hell for tonight? You ain't going to forgive them. I tell you, I'd go out there at the graveyard and tell the tombstone I forgive it tonight. Huh? Just thinking about these quotes, connecting pronouncements. One that I came across was a quote by John Wesley. He was here in America doing some mission work in Georgia. And during the war, he met General Oglethorpe. General Oglethorpe had a reputation of being a hard-nosed, brutal military general. He told Wesley one day, he said, I never forgive anybody. He said, I have never said I'm sorry for nothing. I love what old Wesley told him. He said, then, sir, he said, I hope you never sin.
Amen.
Are you listening to me tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, if you have an unforgiving spirit. I tell you, I ain't forgiving nobody for hurting me. Hurt me too bad. It's no problem if that's what you want to do. Just make sure you ain't got no sin on your account, because you're going to hell to pay for it yourself. He's not taking it away tonight. Are you listening to me tonight?
Yeah, come on.
I was thinking about another quote I come across. A gentleman went to his pastor one day after a bitter divorce. He told his pastor, he said, preacher, he said, I can't forgive her. He said, I cannot forget it. He said, I've tried and I've tried. He said, I cannot put it behind me. I love what the preacher said to him. He said, dear sir, she's living rent-free in your head.
That's not true.
Oh. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, you can go on not forgive them. You can go on and not to put it behind you, but they're living rent-free in your head tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm talking about some connecting pronouncements. I came across this little quote. This is where the tire meet the road on me. I begin to back up. I didn't like them. I felt like I'd read enough quotes. This one stuck out at me. Horizontal forgiveness is the key that opens the door to vertical forgiveness. If you will not forgive this way, man to man.
Amen.
He said, I'll never open the door for vertical forgiveness. God to man.
Right.
Oh my. If you got an unforgiving spirit tonight, if you refuse to forgive somebody, there's no horizontal forgiveness. God said there will be no vertical forgiveness. I'll not forgive you. Not forgive you. I come across this little thought. I had to search my own heart and think about it. I mentioned it the other night, just sort of skimmed over it. I thought I'd just hang out for a minute or two on this last little quote. I was telling you a connecting pronouncement. I run across five quotes. I'll give you four of them. The last one that I ran across was, "Do you remember the last time you told God or a individual the words, 'I am sorry'?" I was wondering, when do you remember the last time when you upwardly cried out to God, "I'm sorry"? I know there's some of you think you got saved and covered that. You said you sorry one time to God, that's enough. Huh? I know years ago when you hurt your wife one time, you said you sorry. You figure that could cover everything. Huh? Yeah. Oh, no, hon, that ain't covered nothing.
Right.
You got to be sorry for every time God brings it up that you have gone out of bounds with Him tonight.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yep.
You have recollection, historical recollection of the last time those words come out of your mouth. I tell you, if it's been a while, you ought to just see if they'll come up out of your throat. Maybe they're stuck down there somewhere. Huh? I'm talking about a connecting pronouncement. I am not afraid tonight that this service has gotten sober. I am not afraid tonight that this service has gotten somewhat uneasy. As we continue now, these Jesus words, not Tom words, these are the kingly pronouncements about forgiveness. Not only is there a connecting declaration, but if you've got your Bible, chapter number 7, He makes another statement along the lines of forgiveness. And I call it a criticizing declaration. A criticizing declaration. He says in verse number 1 of chapter number 7, "Judge not that you be not judged." I notice some things that verse is not saying, because it has been said that it was saying a lot of things. One thing I don't think it is talking about is a judging spirit. A judging spirit. The little word "judge" means to mentally decide. And so we have all kinds every day. We make mental decisions. We mentally decide daily about things. But the judging spirit that He speaks of tonight is to determine an ordained sentence or punishment for another tonight.
Yeah.
You know, we can judge if we want to what people do.
Yeah.
Bible says by their fruits we shall know them.
What it says.
But I tell you one thing you can't do. You can't judge why they did it.
Right.
That's their motives.
Yep.
Can't see their motives.
Right.
We can judge tonight what people say. Bible says, out of the mouth, the heart speaketh.
Yep.
You can judge what they say. But I tell you something else you can't do. You can't judge why they said it.
Yep.
That's their intentions.
Amen.
You can't judge somebody's motives and intentions. But I know one that can. He said that's all he does is judge your motives and your intentions tonight.
Yes.
He knows how come you did it. He knows why you said it tonight.
Yep.
Oh, we can have a judging spirit. God has given us the ability tonight to judge eternal things versus temporal things. But I tell you what, you ought to be careful in your judging tonight. One of the things that helps us judge is our conscience. Paul said, "I've got a conscience that is void of offense towards God and towards my fellow man." I tell you, this world can cake up your conscience. And your conscience can tell you you're doing right when you're doing wrong. Huh? I tell you, if you don't have, I was playing around with you tonight about being out left field reading your Bible and studying your Bible. A strong contact with your Bible is the only thing that will keep your conscience from caking up with the world. You can sit on a Baptist pew all your life and your conscience be as cold and as dead as it ever been.
Amen.
And it can tell you you're doing right when it's clear you're doing wrong. Conscience is the black box of the soul. Conscience is the director of the soul. And if that conscience is saturated in the things of God, that conscience will tell you when you're doing right. It'll tell you when you're doing wrong.
Amen.
I was thinking about those two Spaniard pilots. That big Boeing 707, they were landing in Spain. The black box recorder come on and it was speaking in English and it said, "Pull up! Pull up! Pull up!" I said it three times. You can hear it on the black box. The last thing he said as he cut it off, he said, "Shut up, gringo!" You didn't want to hear that English mess. Cut it off. The next sound you hear is them hitting the mountainside and exploding, killing 180 people. Huh? Oh, you can take your black box up tonight, your conscience, and not saturate it with the Word of God, but it'll tell you you're doing right when it's clear you're doing wrong.
That's right. Huh? That's right.
There must be a judging spirit tonight. A judging spirit. But I notice in this text, not only do we have in this criticizing declaration, not only does he mention a judging spirit, but he mentions a judgmental spirit. Judgmental spirit. I tell you, Baptists is about the best I've ever seen in examining each other.
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah.
I tell you, you just ask Baptists, they know what's too long and what's too short.
Yeah, they do.
Huh? Are you listening to me tonight? Huh? I tell you, some of the meanest Baptists I've ever met. Ain't never been to the beach, ain't never had a pair of pants on, ain't never been in a movie theater.
Right.
Ain't mean as a devil.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I wouldn't trust them with a peanut butter sandwich. Are you listening to me tonight? Judgmental spirit. Always checking everything.
Look out. Yeah.
Trying to see if it's too short or too long. Always know what the criteria is.
Yeah.
Always know what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Don't seem like they ever find out what God wants them to do.
That's right.
He says here in verse number 3, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" That little word mote there, it is the little word for a speck of sawdust. You have examined your brother's Christianity. You notice that he's got a speck of sawdust in his eye. You being the judgmental Christian that you are, you're going to help him get it out. But you fail to see that little word beam there. It is a close reference to our little word telephone pole.
Yeah.
Huh? He's got a speck of sawdust in his eye. Get out of the way. I can help him get it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to look over this telephone pole that I've got in my own eye.
Huh?
Let us be careful when we try to get the speck out of our own brother's eye and miss the telephone pole that is in our own eyes. I tell you, a critical spirit will lead to bitterness, and bitterness will lead to hatred tonight, and you take the poison and wish they were dead.
Yep.
Are you listening to me tonight? Talking about a judgmental spirit. Our Lord didn't like it. I tell you what, he don't like you checking out his little youngins. Huh? Most of us would say God's sovereign in salvation. He saves whoever he pleases.
Yes,
saves them whenever he pleases and however he wants to save them. But I didn't know if you know it or not, but he's sovereign in sanctification too. He said, I'll put my spirit within inside of them and I'll cause them to walk. He said, I'll cause them to walk when I want them to walk. He said, I'll cause them to grow up when I want them to grow up. Are you listening to me tonight?
Yes,
oh, I love the hound out of that, don't you? Not only is there a judging spirit mentioned in this text, there's a judgmental spirit mentioned in this text. But I notice in verse number 2, there is the judging of self. Oh, there's an area where we don't want to get into, judging self. He says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. You remember he said, when I get ready to forgive you, whatever measure you use for forgiveness, that's the one I'm going to use. He said, when you get ready to check the brethren out, judge them. He said, I'm going to use the same judgment on you. Oh, remember the measurement. Same measurement you use to check others. He will use the same on you. I tell you, the Baptists I'm running and seeing now, they have set a standard so high, they can't keep it. Their youngins can't keep it. And finally, they're getting out of church because they can't live up. The standard has been set by the Baptist church. Huh? Oh, he says in verse number 5, he said, thou hypocrite. Uh-oh. He said, first cast out of the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. That little word there, hypocrite, it's an interesting word. The little word means one who wears a mask. I don't doubt very seriously that we hadn't got some mask wearers here tonight. Huh?
Sure.
I wonder if there's any of you here tonight, this would be your testimony. Bless God, preacher, I ain't changed in 20 years. I'm the same fella the last 20 years. You a booger bear too. I'm scared of you. I ain't the same fella got up this morning. I got alone with God and he started pointing out things about me he didn't like. I tell you, if you've been the same for 20 years, you're a mess tonight. You're a mess tonight if God hadn't been changing you tonight. I tell you what you are, you're a hypocrite tonight with a mask. Bible says that he sees us in Hebrews naked and open before the whole world. I was thinking about the old doctor that went to Africa to do some medicine over there. And there was a lady that brought a little baby to see the doctor. He's an African. They's living in the jungle. And all the baby had on was a rope, a little teeny rope about that long tied around its belly button. He didn't have no clothes. And he asked the lady, he said, how come the baby don't have no clothes on? She told him in her language, they interpreted for him. She said, the baby's got clothes on. Says it's got a rope around its navel. They didn't have no clothes to put on the baby. They just tie a rope around its navel. That indicates to everybody else it has clothes on. Hey, there's some of you sitting here spiritually tonight think you clothed. You ain't got nothing but a rope around your belly button. Huh? It's your rope of religion tonight. It's your rope of checking everybody else out.
Yes, yes, yes. Mercy.
I was thinking about that not long ago. I went with some family. They very clear. They know about everything that's right and wrong in the Baptist church. I preached that morning, and there was a gal come forward, and boy, God busted her. She just got gloriously saved. Oh, I tell you, God set her free. When we got back in the car with some of my family, one of them spoke up. First thing they said, did you see that girl this morning, how short her dress was? I ain't said a word about her getting saved. I don't even think that they care. Oh, they was concerned. The whole time she's down there praying, crying out her soul to God, they were... measuring that thing.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, I tell you, with the same measuring he do to others, he's seeing if you'll measure up. Huh? I tell you, the pattern tonight's not the Baptist church. If all I've got to do is line up with this church tonight, fluff my feathers a little bit, my wings, give me a light shove, and I'm ready to fly tonight. This church is not the pattern. Baptist is not the pattern. He said Christ is the pattern. I got to lay down on Him, line up with Him tonight. I'm talking about a critical declaration, a connecting declaration. I mentioned this last little thought and I'm done. Matthew chapter number 18, our Lord makes another statement. He said, far as I can concern, the Lord's made enough statements. Well, at least look at this last one. He just makes three declarations in this kingly book about forgiveness. There is a connecting declaration. There's a criticizing declaration. I call this a calculating declaration. Calculating declaration. Verse number 23, he said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now that in our vernacular is about $25 million. This old boy had accumulated an unpayable debt. That's exactly what you and I, as depraved sinners tonight, had accumulated. God, when we stepped forth out of our mothers, we had an unpayable debt.
Right.
We were already in debt. We could not pay it. Verse 25, but as for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. Servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. That's exactly what the Lord did for us. It was a calculating forgiveness tonight. It was far more than you and I could pay. But notice, not only is there a calculating forgiveness here, I notice there is a calculating focus here. The Bible says in verse number 28, but the same servant, what servant was that? One's been forgiven so much. God's washed all his sins away. He stamped not guilty on his account. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him but 100 pence. It was a very nominal amount. He put him under the microscope and saw a little speck in his life. And he says in our text, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. His fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. Oh, our focus must not be tonight on how much they have offended us, but it must be upon the fact of how much we have offended Him.
Right.
We have an unpayable debt with Him tonight. Right. We cannot bring it to pass.
Right.
Not only do I see a calculating forgiveness and focus here, but I see a calculating formula here. Long before this story is told, Peter asked a question. Look at it if you've got your Bible there, chapter number 18 and verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter really feels like he's spiritual. He's a Baptist.
Now, Lord, if a fellow was to offend me and really hurt me, I'd be just cut my guts out. And he did it seven times in a day. Don't you think that would be enough to forgive him seven times?
I love what our Lord said. He said in verse 22, and Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. He said, let him come cut your guts out 490 times in a day. And he said, you be ready to forgive him every time he does it. Whoa. Hey, right there between verse 23 and verse 24, I know you can't see it. It's between the lines. There's a little thud there. It's Peter fainting and hitting the ground. Four. 490 times, if somebody hurts you at work, somebody hurts you in your family, somebody hurts you at this church, 490 times in a day, and they never asked you to forgive them, you ought to be ready to forgive that forgiveness and give that forgiveness if they ask for it. Are you listening to me tonight?
Yeah.
That's God's formula forgiveness tonight. It is endless forgiveness. I was thinking tonight again about this declaration of forgiveness. I am not much of a Martin Luther King Jr. follower. But I have recently read some articles about Martin Luther King Sr., his daddy. His daddy was an old-time country preacher raised up in Georgia. Best I can see from his life, he knowed the Holy Ghost. He died at 84 years old. He was still preaching when he died. But he had lived a life of suffering as a black man growing up in Georgia. He said he remembered when Georgia passed the law that a black man could vote for the first time. He said he went down to City Hall in Atlanta. He said he found that the voter registration was on the second floor. He noticed that the door to the stairwell had a big sign on it, closed, under construction. He could not walk the steps. And there's a big sign on the elevator for blacks only, out of order. There was no way he could get to the second floor to register to vote. He said on one Sunday morning, he was preaching in his church. Before he preached, his wife was at the organ. She was playing on the organ the Lord's Prayer. He said there was a black man coming to church that morning in open fire. He said everybody in the church, while he was shooting, he said we all ducked and tried to get out of the way. He said, when it was finally over and I stood up, he said, my wife was slumped over the organ. She was dead. She had been shot. His own son was murdered. Civil rights movement. Prior to Martin Luther King Sr.'s death, he made this pronouncement. He said, two men that I should hate, one a black man, one a white man, are in prison for murder of my wife and my son. He said, I hate neither. He said, nothing that a man can do can take him lower then when he allows himself to fall so low as to hate and refuse to forgive.
That's good.
Oh, I tell you tonight, if you have an unforgiving spirit against any tonight, this book said you have slipped as low as you possibly can slip. I'm talking about the declaration of forgiveness. Would you stand with us tonight?